You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live with Lance Meadow and John Schmelk. Thank you for joining us. And now we'll take your calls the rest of the way at 201-939-4513. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT for your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. So let's see who we got on the lines there. I got a little glare. We'll get to your calls in a second at 201-939-4513. And Lance, I think you made a good point on Chicago. And I think a lot of people do sleep on the Bears. I know you've been kind of very sneakily bringing them up now and then. But I think they'll be better. I think the Lions, you know, losing Calvin Johnson, I think that's going to be a tough slog for them a little bit. But I think the Bears do have a chance to, you know, approach that 500 type area this year.
Well, and the Lions have also taken some hits on defense over the last two seasons.
Well, yeah,
especially
Sue,
on the
Fairley.
So, you know, that is a question mark. But, you know, it's funny because it's one of the questions that we have in the feature that's going to happen over the next month on Giants.com, 30 questions in 30 days to preview training camp. And we talk about, you know, who may be one of the under-radar teams. And I chose the Chicago Bears basically exactly what Wayne laid out. I couldn't really add any much more. I think they did a nice job. To me, the problem, if you look statistically at the Bears last season, John, could not stop the run. So what do? They go out, they get a pair of free agent linebackers who have some experience, and offensively, the Bears actually did quite well last season.
And don't sleep on Kevin White being
correct
there, man.
His return, and here's the other thing, a lot of people are going to say, well, wait a minute, you know, they lose Matt Forte to the Jets, but Langford, who filled in, didn't really miss much of a beat, and their production on the ground.
They drafted a running back, too, right?
Correct. They did draft a running back as well.
I can't remember. Who'd they draft?
They did draft a running back. The name does escape me, but they brought in a young guy who they think could eventually be their number one guy moving forward. But I think Langford's going to compete at least this year to be the number one, and then they'll have a complementary group of backs behind him. But Chicago, I think defensively and offensively, there's a little bit more balance on this team this year
that
I would expect them to turn around. Plus, you know, they went 6-10 last year. Nobody's saying they're going to win 12 games.
No, but they can get to 8 or 9.
Correct. They can be that wild card type of team. I don't think that's a stretch.
Jordan Howard, Indiana.
There you go.
That's what it was. Big bruising back. He's a good player.
Who they think, like I said, could be a number one guy moving forward.
All right, 201-939-4513. Your call's the rest of the way. Bob in New Jersey. You're up first, Bob. How are you, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Bob. How are you?
Hi. Good, good. Gonna miss you guys for what, the next 2 weeks?
That'll be two weeks.
The abyss of football. Anyway, listen. I was reading up on a young running back that apparently we picked up as a undrafted free agent out of Illinois State. His name's Marshawn Copperidge, the running back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I looked on the depth chart, could not find a guy. I saw his highlights, and of course, obviously, the highlights are what they are. They're highlights.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I saw those, and yeah, the kid looked amazing, but of course, that's Illinois State level of competition. So I just wondered, have you guys even seen him or heard anything about him? I've never heard Paulie Dott talk about him or. So I don't know. I mean, what could you tell us about this young fella?
Well, he's a small guy. That's number one. He's only 5'8". He's 207 pounds. So for 5'8", 207 is actually a pretty good weight. So he's fairly thick. But, he's shorter. Honestly, you haven't really noticed him flash much because, you know, there's so many other running backs on the roster. It's hard for him to really get snaps. That's a guy I'll watch in training camp. And quite frankly, Bob, and, you know, we talk about the offensive linemen in this way a lot, but I think it also applies to the running backs. It's really hard to get a good feel for the running backs in the spring. No one's wearing pads. It's shorts. Yeah. It's T-shirts.
Right.
You know,
right.
No one's really blocking. I mean, it's really hard to get a feel for them. Hopefully, we'll get a better feel for him as we get into end of July and August when the pads come on.
Well, and the other thing that I'll add, Bob, keep in mind, you know, last year they had a guy by the name of Akeem Hunt, and there was a lot of hype surrounding
him. Yes, I remember
him
well. Okay. I was excited about him, too.
I'm not surprised to hear that, given how excited you seem to be about the latest undrafted running back. And Akeem Hunt, if you remember his measurements, 5'9", not necessarily as bulky as the running back they brought in.
Yeah, much thinner.
Correct. I think you got to at least keep things in perspective here. I agree with John. you're going to be able to tell how these guys could separate from one another once they put the pads on, they get into training camp. Because, you know, during the spring and during OTAs and mini camp, you know, they're not necessarily in the team period for all of the workouts. So there's very few snaps to go around to begin with as they're mixing in running backs. But, you know, he's going to have an uphill battle because, remember, they drafted Paul Perkins. You know, Andre Williams is looking to have a bounce back campaign. And Orleans Darkwood showed his value because of special teams. The good news that I've always been saying all offseason, Bob, is you can never have enough depth at any given position.
Well, exactly.
And practice squad. And by the way, Lance. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I'm sorry. By the way, Lance, just it's in reference to Akeem Hunt. Do you know what actually happened to him? That he's no longer a Giant. Where did he end up?
He's
or
wound
is he
up
out of football?
With the Texans.
He actually had 7 or 9 or 10 carries with the Texans last year, and I believe he's in camp with them again this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was with Charles James, former Giant, also wound up with the Texans briefly before he went to Baltimore, obviously.
Okay, all right. Well, that's great. Yeah, it's a log jam at the running back, and obviously the best thing in the world is just more and more competition. So I agree with you guys completely on that. And, let's see what happens with the line. Of course, I guess you guys are just blue in the face about all that. Everybody's screaming and calling up about what's going to happen with the right side of the line. So I won't hit you guys with that today.
You sure you don't want to play Charlie?
No,
Maine?
Charlie's up next. Don't do it. Charlie's up
Charlie.
Next.
I was almost going to bring that up.
We're taking impersonations of Charlie, whatever you feel free. But we appreciate the phone call, Bob. Thanks so much for waiting.
Hey,
You got it. The one thing I also wanted to add, Bob mentioned depth chart. Keep in mind, there is no depth chart at this point, and there's not going to be an official depth chart until quite some time.
Second week, Neely, what, second week of
around,
camp we put our depth chart,
usually,
something like that? And that's
unofficial
depth chart, by the way.
You can only take so much away from that. But, you know, right now, the reason why you're not seeing a depth chart on the website is because there is no depth chart. But Coppridge is on the website, though. He is on the full
roster.
He's
on the roster, yep.
And you can click on him and read a little bit more on him on the website.
No question about it. Yeah. Speaking of complaints about the offensive
line.
I
always say it at the wrong time.
Charlie in Portland, Maine's at next. What was that movie where if you say the guy's name 3 times in the mirror, he shows up, the Candyman? What was that called?
Oh, definitely was a horror movie. Yeah, no doubt about that.
What was that movie?
I'm not a big horror guy.
I forget. Charlie, you must remember. What was the movie where if you said the name of the demon of the monster into the mirror
three
times?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was like, what's his face?
Wasn't that a Mary thing or something? No.
No. That's if you say the Hail Mary X number of times, something bad happens.
Right.
Or something like that.
Hey!
My knowledge is limited,
Lance,
in that category.
Lance, you said something really profound.
Oh, wow.
That is not true.
It's a rare occurrence today. Yes, profound.
We don't have no depth chart, especially on the O-line. Even when they have one, we don't have one. But, John, you know why people sleep on the Bears?
Jay
because
Cutler.
Because they're always in hibernation.
Oh, look at this. The material that he's been working on so that he can get it out because he knows that we're not going to be on for the next 2 weeks. Keep it rolling here.
That's right.
Keep the one-liners coming here, Charlie. The Bears are in hibernation. Wow, he really dug deep for that one. Yes. You could have used that on the Lions, too, maybe, you know?
No, Lions don't sleep that much.
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't know how much research you did on the animal kingdom, so I was just double-checking. Yes.
Oh, God. Hey, so you guys are going to be gone for 2 weeks. I hope you have a great vacation.
Yes, I'll actually be out of town from Friday to next Wednesday, which will be great.
Wow.
Great. And, John, congratulations on your 2-year anniversary. I know you just had it.
I did.
Oh, boy.
2 days ago.
That's pretty scary, by the way, that he knows that.
It is. A little scary.
I remember because I –
yeah,
out at you. That's why I remember.
Yeah, Charlie actually made some. I knew the present day music I was solid. I went to was Charlie DJs. So Charlie actually sent me some music from different eras that I might be able to put into the playlist.
I got you.
For some of the older folks to enjoy. And yes. I did take a number of songs off of that list, and I appreciate the help.
At
Charlie
the time, it seemed like a good idea. 2 years later, when he remembers the day, it may not seem like a great idea. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, have you guys ever visited Maine? either one of you two?
I have not been to Maine before, no.
I have been to Maine, I think, maybe once or twice en route to the Northeast amongst my travels.
Wait, excuse me, to Canada. You can't go any further northeast in America than Maine.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, when I went up northeast to that, you know, Vermont area and
Well, you don't
so
go
forth,
through
so.
Maine to get to Vermont.
Well, I'm just saying, while I was in that region, I went through Maine. My goodness.
Why were you in Maine? I'm curious now. Yeah, I want to know. Why were you in Maine?
Well, I have some family up there.
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Bangor, Maine?
No, not Bangor, Maine. I'm trying to.
That is the only city name Maine actually knows. That's
no, well, they have within that area, they have, you know, they run their hotel.
Oh, they run a hotel.
Yes, exactly. So that's why
nice.
I'm in that area, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
I would love to stay at a hotel in Maine with the wife. I think I need to ask Laz Metal for a favor after the show's over.
I don't
over.
Know if I'm willing to give those. Favors, but anyway, so you asked why or whether we've been to Maine. So this must have some type of a punchline or something
yes.
here.
No, I was just curious if you've ever been up here. It's a great time to come in the summer.
The closest I've ever got to Maine was I went to New Hampshire as a kid on like family vacation. And we went to Mount Washington. And actually, two years ago, I climbed Mount Washington. So
you did.
That is about. Wow. I probably saw Maine from Mount Washington, but I've never set foot in Maine.
Well, maybe Charlie will give you credit for that. That counts a
tad. You could see Maine from Mount Washington. That is true.
There you
wow,
go.
Look at this.
Hey guys, so I don't know what's going on with the anything. Is have you heard anything like? Jerry Reese has been talking to anybody, or are we all quiet because of the holidays?
Actually, Charlie, it was great.
Last
week, Jerry Reese called me and Lance into his office. He put us on a conference call with him, with Eugene Monroe, and we had a nice four-way conversation. We explained how you really wanted him here.
But
once we told Eugene what you were all about, it really made him nervous coming here because, you know, he figured you'd give him too hard of a time.
Charlie, as I said, though, in all seriousness, I would not expect anything.
No. Until end of July, at
because
best.
You have to look at it also from the player's perspective. Mm-hmm. What's the incentive if a player signs today, Charlie, versus the player signs July 25th?
There's no difference.
It'll
help your health. Well, clearly that's the priority for the Giants this offseason, to look out for your well-being.
Just say some arnica, it'll feel better, Charlie. Yeah. It's all good.
Hey, I read something about Will Beatty, and I heard, you know, it was just saying that there's a possibility that Will Beatty could come back to the Giants. Not probable, but there is a possibility. That's what I read from some beat writer somewhere. So,
well,
have you
Charlie,
heard anything?
Will Beatty's a free agent. If he's a free agent, it's possible he comes back. But have we heard anything? No, we have not.
All right. Okay, guys. Well, look.
Thanks,
have
buddy.
A great 2 weeks, and we'll see you on the other side of that time.
All right. Sounds good.
Right,
thanks,
man.
Chuck.
Take care.
Stay care.
Bye.
Well, I'm sure he's still going to be active on Twitter. So
2 weeks without Charlie, it doesn't
Charlie.
Get any better than that.
I guarantee you, we're not going to hear. Well, I mean, we are going to hear
Twitter
from Charlie.
Whatever,
is what I'm going to say. Yeah.
We got a bunch of the old school crew on the line today. Jeff in Rhode Island. He's up next. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Hello, Jeff.
Good.
Thanks.
I'm just fine, thank you, and happy 4th of July weekend.
You too.
You as well.
So I guess you and Lance will be headed over to the French Riviera next week. Is that what's going
to
happen?
I will actually be in Chicago for the 4th of July, so I'll get a chance to compare what the Windy City does to New York for their 4th of July festivities.
Oh, that's good. But I'll tell you seriously, all kidding aside, if I don't know if you've ever been to Rhode Island before, up to my state, but if you get a chance, go to Newport.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Newport,
great
Rhode
place.
Island,
yeah.
And they have, if you like the water, they have sailboats you can go out on, Narragansett Bay, and have a fantastic afternoon or an early evening or whatever you want to do. It's really pretty outstanding thing to do.
Do you have a fishing boat, Jeff? Do you fish?
Okay. But, you know, in regards to the Giants, I mean, you know, you get a million calls all the time about the offensive line. And believe me, I'd love to have an all-pro at every position. But if the defense doesn't improve dramatically, it doesn't matter who's playing the offensive line because we're just not going to have a successful season.
You're right.
You know, I mean, you know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, the opposing offenses completed third downs against our defense at 47% success rate.
Correct. That was 32nd in the NFL last year.
Yeah, dead last. I mean, you can't have that if you hope to have a successful team. So, basically, that's the thing I want to throw out there. Although all these people, think about the defense playing really well for the next couple of weeks.
Well, see, Jeff, I think what fans have done is that they've seen the additions on defense, and they think, oh, we added these three stars, we'll be fine. Like you, I want to see how those stars fit into the core of the defense and how they all play together. Because it's great to have names out there, but let's see them play on the field and get some production before we assume all the problems are fixed.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's an old phrase, one-out phrase, but defense still wins championships, and that's the way I see it going. So have a good couple of weeks off, guys, and I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you.
You as well.
By the way, both of us were right on that mirror thing. So there was a movie called Candyman, and if you say his name three times into the mirror, he shows up.
Okay.
According to folklore, if you call Bloody Mary's name three times into the mirror, she does show up. So we're both right.
But the question is, was there a movie based on Bloody Mary?
I don't believe so, no. There might have been. It didn't pop up, though. Let me see.
Candyman may have been a play off of Bloody Mary.
I might be. That's correct.
If Bloody Mary is real old school, if you do the homework, then... You know,
it looks like there was a 2006 Bloody Mary, yeah. And then also 2011, Bloody Mary 3D, which only got one star on IMDb. That's
Are you a big
struggle.
Horror guy? Because I'm not. I don't really like horror films, especially those.
Not really.
There's not much substance.
It's all right. I don't. They don't bother me. Like back in the day, I watched a lot of the Friday the 13th.
Well,
Jason.
So did I. But I mean, in recent history here, I'm just, I don't know.
Have you ever watched any of those... Insidious Saw. Movies, the ones that they're kind of shot like they shoot using like little handy cams and
where out in the woods
and and then you have the ones in the house where they use like the night vision at night and the demons and almost they try to put you there where it doesn't look like you're in a movie, it looks like you're kind of there witnessing it.
I've seen The Coming Attractions, but I've never really watched any of those. I take it you have?
No.
Well, you seem to be extremely knowledgeable.
I watched one of them. I think it was Insidious. It might have been one of the other ones. And I made the mistake of watching it, like, alone at night.
Oh, boy.
It was fine.
That's what you needed.
It was fine, but it was...
Stuffed animals were nowhere in sight to keep you company. It was one of those nights. Yeah. I understand, you know.
I didn't have the dog yet either. So.
Oh, okay. That's
problem.
True. Oh, so you couldn't...
This was like 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like
that. So you got to prepare accordingly.
You do. 201-939-4513. Len in Columbia, Maryland continues our eclectic episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's up, Len?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You got plenty of time, Len. What do you got for us today?
Len, just so we get it out of the way early.
First thing I want to let you know is the Bluetooth is working in the car.
It was worth a try.
So, but I do have both hands on the wheel, so I don't want the Tino to get nervous. I got both hands on the wheel.
Very good.
Listen, Charlie's right about Maine. That's a beautiful spot in June, July, and August. You better have a high-paying job to keep you there for the rest of the month. It can get pretty desolate up there in those winter months.
Yeah, I believe it,
especially when the snow hits.
He's living large in the summertime, that's for sure. Hey, listen, John, the last time we talked, I want to make a correction here. The last time we talked, I had mentioned that I thought Bromley... had been traded up for.
Right.
And it turns out he wasn't.
That's fine.
But the experts had him as either a fourth or a fifth.
That's correct.
And I think the general managers thought a little more highly of him, especially ours, and that's why we actually picked him a little early in the third. But it was a good thing because after we picked him, there was a little mini run on defensive tackles.
Right.
Including Houston picking our good friend Nix from Notre Dame.
Who is Nix?
Who I hope has a shot at making the team this year.
And Len, by the way, from what I understand, the big decision in the draft room that day was actually between Bromley and Nix. So the Giants ended up with both of them.
Yeah, well, I wound up with both of them. That's right. I think they, if I remember correctly now, I think they were worried about the Bears. And that they really didn't want to wait on the fourth round to pick Bromley because they thought for sure the Bears were going to jump on Bromley. And good move. And I hope he's healthy. I know you said you hadn't heard anything, but I keep reading little snippets that he's got a lower leg injury. And I hope that doesn't come into play when we get into training camp and get into the regular season.
Well, time will tell. I mean, remember, these guys are going to be working out on their own. I wouldn't read too much into an injury report during the course of mini camp, because we're going to be a month removed from what Ben McAdoo said by the time they get back to training camp. But you are right in terms of Bromley's projection that year in the draft, because if I remember correctly, what he was talking about, how he found out that he was going to be selected by the Giants, he didn't even
supermarket,
expect,
right?
Yeah, he was
in
the store with his girlfriend.
That's right.
And they got a phone call out of the blue, and he wasn't expecting to go perhaps until later that day or maybe the following day.
It's like the opposite of the guys that are on the phone, like, come on.
And it caught him off guard, and he got the call, and then he ran home and started packing up and was ready to rejoin the Giants.
Yeah, how about that? Well, I'm glad he's on the Giants. I think this guy's got a little bit, you know, he's got something to offer. And I think by the time his career is over, I think he's going to make a contribution that Giant fans are going to really appreciate. You know, the thing I'm most worried about, and I'm going to differ from Charlie just a little bit, I'm not that as worried about the offensive line as I am worried about the back end of the defense. I think you know how I feel about 4-3 defense. The two key things are the pass rush and that three safety who can cover the field. I think we got the pass rush covered. I'm not so sure what's going to happen at that second safety position. We just have to have better play out of that position. If we're going to go to the playoffs, we have to have better play out of that position. And I'm hoping the young man who we drafted in the third round, if I'm correct,
Darian Thompson,
has a good shot at helping us out there. And I just hope we really got a good one in him, because that's just we were awful back there last year. It's nightmarish to think back at what it was like with those safeties last year. And with Collins improving, what I'm looking for is some of these guys to get better, like the Carolina Panthers. You know, the Panthers last year, it just seemed like everybody got better in 2015 after 2014.
Yeah,
and it all started the second half of 2014, and just, it was like 53 guys got better.
And Len, you know what? It wasn't just the Panthers, Len. It was the Broncos, too. Look at all those second, third, fourth, and fifth round picks on the Broncos defense that continually got better and better and better. And it all came together with a good defense. And you're right. People talk about the new additions, the draft picks, and that's great. They're going to help the team. But most of the time, the guys out of the core of your roster, the guys that you draft and you develop over 2 or 3 years, and they become core parts of your team. Now, you're getting to the point where the guys like Bromley that you mentioned are getting into that area. Well, you know what? Time for you to step up and contribute. And I think that's where you're going to get a lot of the improvement, too, that people don't talk about from those young guys that have been here and are starting to improve.
I'll throw Devon Kennard into that mix,
too. Absolutely.
I mean, he's another one that has an opportunity to step up this year.
If we're gonna make a move, it's guys like that's got to help us out. I think we had a terrific draft. You know, we signed, you know, top-quality free agents. But, you know, I keep looking at those guys, you know, Double O, Bromley, Kennard. These guys have got – Collins has got to get better. And then we just need these guys to play better if we're really going to do something. And, win all our games. There we go. How about 16-0?
Well, I think that's everybody's goal at the beginning of the season, Len.
This is how I wanted to wind up on 16-0. I understand, you know, people have been making predictions, 9 wins, 11 wins, one fella had 13 wins. That's great. Every fan has their thoughts on how many we're going to win. But, you know, I'm just a fan. But I got to tell you, if I didn't think the Giants were going to win a game, I wouldn't drive 300 miles on a weekend to see them play. I wouldn't watch them on TV. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win every week. Now, you know, I don't know how foolish that is, but I was going to try to get in yesterday and talk to Jeff about this, too, from a player's perspective. I mean, when they're sitting in that hotel on Saturday night, I mean, are they figuring that this is a game we're going to lose? I hope not. You know, you got to be thinking we can win every game we play. Or else, you know, why get on the plane and go? Everyone's looking at that Green Bay game. Yeah, that's going to be a tough game, but geez, we can't go into that game thinking we're not going to compete and we might lose that game. I mean, every week I want to see us thinking about winning. You got any comments on that?
Well, Len, I don't think that's ever really been an issue with respect to this team. I mean, if you listen to what Tom Coughlin preaches and also what Ben McAdoo preaches, I've never heard of a player that is going to come out to the media and say, you know, we didn't think we had any chance going into the game. Plus, remember, the Giants have had a good track record in Green Bay in recent history. Let's not forget about that. So, you know, as much as the game seems to be big and it'll be obviously a challenge, it goes without saying, because the Packers have been one of the most consistent teams, I think that the Giants have a good tracker where they go into places where maybe they're not favored and they wind up surprising people. But as far as having no chance to win, you could talk about even seasons where this team has struggled. That, to me, has never been an issue. The locker room has never been an issue. If anything, it's just been that they've been outplayed on the football
field. Look, when you have Eli Manning, you're always going to have a chance to win. Yeah. You're always going to have a shot. And they had a shot last year. They just didn't win a lot of the close games.
You know, one of my favorite questions over the last 4 to 5 years has been, is Eli playing?
That's why I queued you up.
We got a better shot. We got a better shot when Eli's gone. And I think that holds true for the coaches, too. I remember Tom saying, you know, on Saturday night, he always feels good about the game plan. He's given the players a game plan that we can win the game with. And I'm sure the players feel that way. I guess, you know, but so many times we talk about 8-8, 9-7. I mean, which of those seven are we going to lose? Which of, I don't know. I don't want you to write it on the board, but every week this season, I'm going in thinking we're going to win that football game. I'm not thinking we're going to lose any games. Fandom, guys. I understand. And you probably disagree with me on this, but, geez, I think we got to think like the players, like the coaches, like ownership. We're getting on the plane and going to Green Bay. I'm just using Green Bay as an example. We can use the first game in Dallas, too, if you want. That is a tough stretch, by the way. Well, we got Minnesota 1. Do you think we'll stay up there, guys?
No, absolutely not. We'll come back.
They're going to come. Yeah. We'll come back and then go back to Green Bay the next week.
I mean, I would assume. I haven't heard anything different, and the team's never done anything like that before. It's a new coach, though. I would be shocked if that was the case. Len, I haven't heard anything about it. Yeah, it isn't like they're out in, like, San Francisco or something.
Yeah, if they were staying out on the West Coast, I could see maybe the value of
like Rams, Niners, back-to-back, maybe something like that.
Facility. But, I mean, you want to be back at your facility. You have your practice field.
Yeah, and Len, the thing is, there's so much logistical work now since everything is electronic with the game film and all that stuff. I mean, literally, our IT department had to move the whole building to the West Coast for a week. It just doesn't make any sense.
Sure. I get you. I understand. Now, is there anything, has the training camp schedule been released? I haven't seen anything.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. So I'd like to sneak up there.
It'll be released before training camp starts.
Yeah, I'd like to sneak up there and see one at that facility. I think I've been to every training camp they've had.
Now and for once,
I've never been to the one at your facility there.
You know, Len, you show up to all these games. You never stop by the radio station and say hello. Now, if you come to training camp, you better call us and let us know so we can come over and say hi. All right?
Listen, you wait too long to start that show on Sunday morning. I mean, I got to get in that stadium and watch these guys warm up. That's part of my deal.
Well, Len, here's the deal, okay? Our 1 o'clock pregame show starts at 11:30. If that's too late for you, for the 4 o'clock games this year,
2 hours.
Our pregame show starts at 2:10. We start before the gates are even open. So for the 4 o'clock games, get your butt over there.
It's amazing.
I'm going to come. Yeah, all right. Now, this year I'm coming by. And I got it on my bucket list. I want to get up there for training
camp. All right, good.
See one thing of MetLife, because like I said, I think I've, geez.
All right, Len.
I think I've seen him at every training camp we've been at, ever. I've seen something, but not the ones at MetLife.
Thank you, pal.
That'd be fun.
All right, Len. Appreciate the phone call.
Have a great 4th of July, my friend.
We'll have the rocking chair all ready to go for him.
Yeah. And by the way, so 2:10 for 4 o'clock for night games, it's when the gates open at 2 o'clock. 2 hours before.
Right? 2 hours, yeah.
So 6:30, I guess, for an 8:30 kick or whatever. Yeah. So there you go. Get your butt over there, Len. I want to see you.
Well, I mean, listen, he can even come out for the 11:30 pregame starts, too.
Yeah, I know. He's like the Tino. You have to watch the guys warm up. He's nuts. It's fine.
Well, we're out there, though, literally up until kickoff almost.
I know. So. By the way, Mike Garofalo reports Jet Sheldon Richardson suspended for the season opener for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy.
Oh, he's had a few run-ins off the field. So
and now maybe
surprise.
Muhammad Wilkerson holding a little bit more leverage with the potential holdout for the franchise tag.
Well, and that may also impact the Jets' perspective with July 15th,
correct.
As we mentioned off the top of the show. The deadline hasn't passed yet, so they could certainly change and sing a different tune here.
And they still have Fitzpatrick up in there,
that's
too.
That's another one they got to deal with, yeah. A lot of big question marks for them.
No question.
No, it wouldn't surprise me, though, with Fitzpatrick. That may not get settled until maybe a week or two into training camp. For all I know, I mean, they may wait to see what they have.
See, that's
going to
be done. To me, if you want, want your starting quarterback there first week of camp, and you know what, you've got to figure that thing and figure it out. I mean, look, to me, this is the easy compromise for them. And I don't want to spend a lot of time with the Jets. Obviously, we only have a few minutes left. They might as well do it. The team apparently is offering basically a 3-year deal that's front or 2-year deal that's front load. The second year, he's not making a lot of money. And Fitzpatrick doesn't want that. He wants, you know, a bigger contract over 3 seasons.
Well, he said he'd take a 1-year deal, and the Jets didn't want to necessarily
see,
do that.
See, to me, I think that's where the compromise is. Why wouldn't the Jets just give him a 1-year deal for $12 million? Then if you want him back, you figure it out again next year. You sign another 1-year deal if you want.
If you're not sold that 2015 is what he can do again, then to me it's better to give him a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And then worst case scenario, you move on. He just drafted a quarterback in Hackenberg.
I agree. To me, I think that's what's going to happen. I think you'll eventually see a 1-year, $8 million deal or something like that, and Fitzpatrick will try again the next offseason to get more money.
I'm just wondering, though, the reason why I threw out a week or two into training camp is, number one, remember, he knows the system, and he worked with Chan Gailey in
that's
Buffalo.
True.
So it's not necessarily
that's
an issue
true.
That he's got to learn the scheme, number
and veteran
two.
Wideouts, Brandon Marshall, Decker, he knows all
so
the guys.
He misses a week
know,
or two, it's not
know,
the end of the world. And then,
know.
You know, maybe they just want to see what they have out of Geno Smith and Hackenberg.
Well, not to mention Bryce Petty.
True,
they, have three young quarterbacks that they want to get snaps
you know,
for. That's a fair point.
Weeks, they may say, you know, we don't really love what we
have.
Yeah,
I guess.
Now we're going to bring Fitzpatrick back.
Yeah.
That could be the philosophy.
I suppose.
It's possible. Wouldn't rule it out.
All right, so we've got a couple minutes left here.
We can check out Twitter here, too.
Oh, yeah, you got
a lot
Twitter.
Of people weighing in. And by the way, while we're off for 2 weeks, don't shy away from Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel free to interact with all of us. Use hashtag Giants Chat. You can get us directly.
Remember, it's at Lands, M-E-D-O-W. You have to spell it. There's no A. It's not like you're prancing in the meadow. It's M-E-D-O-W.
Well, but see, you've intentionally screwed that up. But see, Dottino doesn't even intentionally do it. He's sent out tweets before and sends it to a Twitter handle of another Lance Meadow with
doesn't.
An A.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah, he's done
I didn't
before.
Know.
Yeah, so well, I've had to actually correct
him. I think he doesn't
follow
you.
See, with you, I don't mind. Well, we know that he doesn't. It irritates me, though, when you have no idea all these years how to spell the name, and you're including wrong people.
He spelled it right on the air the other day, I heard
him
spell it.
He did, because, trust me, I've had enough conversations.
Oh, have you really talked to him about it?
Oh, I've made sure that he doesn't screw up.
Have you gotten him to follow you on Twitter yet?
No, that's like a lost cause, please. We're
going
to have flying pigs.
That's really insulting.
It's not necessarily insulting, because, see, I can sleep at night. I'm not necessarily losing sleep over that. But he doesn't know what he's missing. That's
so you,
the problem.
Are you excited that the Knicks are bringing the 2011 Chicago Bulls to town to apparently try to play basketball 2015?
It's going to be weird going through the Garden this season and watching like every former Bull in a Knick uniform. My goodness.
They might bring in Jamal Crawford.
Yeah,
and by the
Crawford
way,
could be next.
And now the rumor is they're looking at Eric Gordon, too. Could you imagine if they brought in Rose, Gordon, and Noah, three guys that are hurt all the time?
Well, that
you will set the record. You can get the best icy hot sponsorship of all time.
Well, but let's not also forget you threw Melo in there, too. He's another one.
With the knee.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Pre-existing players on top of the new faces.
I mean, my goodness.
It's going to be interesting here.
Have they looked at an injury report?
Well, apparently not. I was going to say, I think they're basing all the decisions on scouting reports from about 5 years ago.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Phil called his old buddy Mr. Paxton, and Paxton's trying to pawn off all his garbage on him is what's happening. Oh, he's great. Trust me. Oh, he's fantastic. Tom Thibodeau, he's awful. You don't want him.
Yeah.
But here, take these players that haven't been good for 3 years.
They're looking at the
enjoy.
Film, like I said, from 5 years ago, because that's when those two players were in their prime. But, you know, last time I checked, it's going to be 16-17, the calendar.
God, unless the Knicks actually have a time machine sitting around Four Penn Plaza. Oh, my God.
Yes. Well, as long as you're more stressed out, I'm all for it. So you don't see me complaining here.
Yeah, I'll be stressed out for 2 weeks. The Bulls are going to be pretty bad this year, though.
We'll see. You know, listen, they got a whole offseason. They drafted well.
And they stole Jimmy Butler.
And remember, they lost players that were hurt last season.
And
Noah barely played.
Not Gasol.
Yeah, but Gasol is, to me, heading to a part in his career where his production is not necessarily equal to where you'd be paying.
But his production helped you win games last year.
Of course. Listen, he was tremendous. I thought they got great value out of the 2-year deal.
Absolutely.
But the problem is,
and if I was the Bulls, I would have resigned him either. I agree.
You know, what they're doing now is they're moving on
from
the pieces that clearly gave them great productivity. But you have to say to yourself, when a guy gets to 31, 32, 35, 36,
I agree,
it's better to bring in a Robin Lopez who's 28 and is a better defender right now in his career. So, I mean, I understand the philosophy.
How nervous are
offense
you?
Offense is still a concern.
How nervous are you the draft night when they thought they might trade Jimmy Butler?
Oh, I was very concerned.
For Zach LaVine and some first-round pick. That would have been silly.
That wouldn't have been enough. Listen, if they want to get rid of Jimmy Butler and they want to give him to Minnesota, and I know this may be wishful thinking on my part, but you better cough up Towns or Wiggins in that deal.
Well, you're not getting Towns, but if I was the Bulls,
one of the two, I said.
I would ask for Wiggins.
I would ask for, yeah.
Or some kind of, it had to be a larger package and you had to get Rubio.
Well,
I like Rubio.
Well, the one that I was talking hypothetically was if they wanted to give LaVine, I would have taken LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, Rubio.
And the one.
And the fifth overall pick. I would have considered that for Butler.
And I think that would have been, and I think that would have been closer. That would have been closer.
Yeah, that I could have lived with.
Anyway.
But you need tremendous value in return for, remember, Butler's 26 years old. People tend to forget about that.
Any more tweets? Everybody had Candyman on Twitter.
Beetlejuice
also.
Charlie, of all people.
Beetlejuice.
I know we had a few comments about the NFC North here because we did get into that. Let's see. AJ Marshall at AJ Marshall 3. He says Green Bay and Minnesota, the two best teams in the NFC North.
Playoff teams.
According to him. But remember, don't sleep on necessarily the Chicago Bears.
Here at another tweet from Will Ruiz, the Packers always play us up, but we have their number. The Giants have had their number, especially in the playoffs.
And that's what I was mentioning, too. Len brought that up. He was talking about how challenging that game was, but if you look at history, they've done quite well. I think AJ asked one other question, which was interesting.
Yeah, real quick.
I thought I saw it earlier.
We're at 1 o'clock.
Well, he was asking about whether or not Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback the Giants are going up against this season, which I thought was an interesting topic.
I think he is.
I think
at this point, the only guy in the NFL you could argue with Rodgers is probably Brady, right? I mean, who else? I mean, Cam?
Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Going up against? I mean, I throw him in the conversation.
If I'm drafting a team right now, Rodgers is my number one pick.
No, Rodgers is definitely, I think, the most challenging quarterback they're going to go up against this season. But
is he the best quarterback in the NFL, though?
Without a doubt.
I agree. Conversation.
He's got more versatility than Brady. Yeah, Brady's a great quarterback, but I'd take the guy that can deal with an offensive line that's been banged up over the last few years and still keep that offense afloat.
Hey, look, we talked about it a million times, though. Giants play a lot of good quarterbacks this year.
Tremendous.
Brees,
I mean, I'm looking. Roethlisberger,
Andy Dalton, Romo twice. Kirk Cousins had a great year last year.
Flacco.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it. All right, folks. We will see you in 2 weeks when Big Blue Kickoff returns. I guess that would be, what date is that? July what? Let me get
the
right date here.
July 18th or something?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it's the 17th or the
18th. July 18th.
Okay.
We'll be back
with
Big Blue Kickoff Live. 2 weeks up until training camp. We'll continue to preview the Giants schedule and training camp itself. For Lens Metal, I'm John Schmelk. Have a fantastic July 4th weekend. We'll see you on July 18th. Adios.
Have a good one.
You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. The show.